So the title of my talk today is Prevalent Sexually Transmitted Infections in Men Who Have Sex with Men Are Associated with Rectal Hygiene Practices. Just to give a brief overview of this area, there's been studies that have shown association between vaginal douching and STIs, but there's been little research on the association between rectal hygiene behaviors and STIs in men. What little research has been done is shown an association between rectal douching in HIV, hepatitis C, hepatitis B, non-LGV chlamydia, and LGV proctitis. There's also a potential possible biological mechanism for this, that rectal douching could cause disruption of the rectum, such as loss of epithelium cells, which could result in increased risk of STI acquisition. There's no recent large studies documenting the prevalence of rectal douching among MSM, but the few small studies that have been done have shown estimates ranging from 19% to 64%, so it's a fairly common behavior. The study that's going to be used in this analysis was a longitudinal study of 432 men who have sex with men recruited from three community sites in Los Angeles. This is part of the Network of AIDS Research Los Angeles, Project 2, Barriers for Enrollment in a Rectal Microbicide Research Study. By design, 50% of the sample was HIV positive. And of these 432 men, 267 chose to respond to the questions on hygiene behaviors, but this subsample was not significantly different from the full sample by age, race, ethnicity, education, HIV status, or prevalent STIs. This is a longitudinal study, but in this analysis we only use the baseline data because the study isn't complete yet. At the baseline visit, participants completed an online CASI survey about their sexual behaviors, and they also collected specimens for STI testing, tested for gonorrhea and chlamydia. The gonorrhea was both a rectal swab and a urine sample. The chlamydia was just a urine sample, though. Syphilis was tested from a blood sample using RPR and TPPA. The inclusion criteria for the study was you had to be 18 or older, anatomically male, and a self-reported history of receptive anal intercourse, or RAI, over the past year. The site-specific inclusion criteria was that one site recruited only HIV positive, one recruited only HIV negative, and one recruited 50% of each. So this shows some of the basic demographics of our subsample who answered the rectal douching question. Median age was 40, and it was a fairly diverse sample, with 35% black non-Hispanic, 38% were white non-Hispanic, and 23% were Hispanic. In terms of education, about a quarter had graduated from high school, 43% had some college, and 22% had graduated from college. We asked the number of sex partners in the past 30 days, and the median number in the sample was 1. This describes some of this rectal hygiene and sexual behaviors of this sample. And 74% had reported douching ever in their lifetime, but 47% reported douching in the past 6 months. And at last, receptive anal intercourse, about a quarter reported douching before that anal intercourse. 81% reported using a lubricant. 38% reported that that partner had been a main partner. And 54% reported not using a condom. When we look at the behaviors at last receptive anal intercourse by whether or not the person had douched, there's no differences in the prevalence of using a lubricant or a condom between these two groups. But we did find that the people who douched were significantly less likely to report that that partner had been a main partner. This graph shows the prevalence of douching by age, and as you can see, the prevalence of douching increases with older age. Here, this shows the prevalence of STI that we found in our baseline sample. We had 2 positive cases of urethral gonorrhea, 5 of urethral chlamydia, and then 7 cases of rectal gonorrhea, which was 2.7% prevalence. We had a 3.4% prevalence of syphilis, and when we create a variable that's any potentially rectally acquired STI, which would be the syphilis or rectal gonorrhea in this study, we had a prevalence of 5.7%. And as I said before, this was about 50% prevalence of HIV, but that was by design. This shows STI prevalence and douching before the last RAI. The brown bars are the men who reported douching before last RAI, and the red are the ones that reported not douching before last RAI. And you can see that there is a significant difference in prevalence of syphilis, with people who douched before last RAI having a much higher prevalence. There's the same trend in the rectal gonorrhea, though we didn't have the power to detect a statistically significant difference there. When we look at the outcome as syphilis or rectal gonorrhea, there's still a significant difference with 12.5% of the people who reported douching testing positive for a prevalent rectal STI. There was no association with the urethral STIs. It shows factors associated with the prevalent rectal STIs. As I mentioned before, it is associated with douching before last RAI, but we also found that it was associated with douching in the past 6 months, and also reporting that you've been homeless in the past year and positive HIV status. And finally, we ran a multivariate model with prevalent rectal STI as the outcome. Our main exposure of interest was douching at last RAI, but we also included several potential confounding factors, such as age, HIV, number of sex partners in the past 30 days, whether a condom was used at last RAI, if the partner had been a main partner, and whether the participant had reported being homeless in the past year. As you can see, the only significant factor in this model was douching at last RAI, with an odds ratio of 5.2. Age was borderline significant, with a younger age being associated with a higher prevalence of STIs expected. So there's several limitations to the study. One, that at baseline we didn't test for rectal chlamydia. And we had, our power was too low to test the association between rectal gonorrhea and douching. If we had tested for rectal chlamydia, it would have been helpful to have that to boost the numbers and combine and look at chlamydia and gonorrhea together. This was not done at baseline. The survey also didn't have detailed information on douching. Some helpful information to have might have been ingredients of the douche, frequency of douching, and the timing between when the last RAI occurred, so therefore when the douching occurred, and the STI test, which was done at baseline. And this was a cross-sectional survey, so you can only look at an association, it's not causality. Once we finish the exit survey, we'll be able to look at this incidence of STIs also. But in conclusion, we found that douching before last RAI was associated with prevalent rectal STI after controlling for several confounding factors. However, further study is needed with more detail on the douching behavior, as I mentioned, with the ingredients and the frequency of douching. But this findings do suggest that potentially MSM should be counseled about the potential risk of douching before RAI. Thank you for coming, and if you have any questions.
Thank you very much, Kristen. This paper is open for questions. Please use this this microphone.
But on the, I'm not sure why they decided. I don't know if it was a funding issue, why they only with the, yeah. Yeah, I'm involved in the decision about what to test for on the baseline. All I know is that they only have rectal gonorrhea.
Sorry, Kristen. The whole point is that the test tests for two infections.
Yeah.
It tests for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And if you ran the test for gonorrhea, you should have been able to be running the test for chlamydia at the same time.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they're not included in the data then. So, sorry.
Sorry. I don't think that works.
Okay. Well, that might be the biological mechanism, maybe for after exposure, but this is before exposure. So I think thinking is that maybe the douching could reduce like surface epithelium cells that could increase susceptibility to STIs. And there has been some data that shows that douching with tap water, soap suds, does result in loss of surface epithelium. So, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I have one question, and that's related to the syphilis serology.
Yeah.
Did you ask them about the previous history of syphilis? Because it may well be that all you're doing is measuring their risk of syphilis in the past.
In the past. We try to limit it to more recent syphilis by using the titer. We also use the titer and used anything that was 1 to 8 or greater.
Yeah.
And we do ask, you know, if you'd ever had syphilis in the past, but we didn't limit that in this study. Without, in the future, we're actually planning on getting some information from county and be able to follow up and actually know for certain whether it was a primary or secondary case. But we weren't able to do that yet for this presentation. So,
Thank you. Thank you very much.